quick review from yesterday. On page Kuf Lamed Aleph, we began the piece yesterday, and Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter was describing how sometimes our religious aspirations can become very dangerous. Because if we don't practice them in a healthy way, if we take on too much at once, we take on certain stringencies, we think we're going to overnight make up for maybe years of lost time in terms of learning or shmiras mitzvos. In the end, the person gets himself into a lot of trouble. And we said that's what Esav said to Yaakov. Hatziga na imcha min ha'am asher iti. Right? Let me send a few of my men with you. Maybe I can help you out. But you have to be careful that sometimes Esav is trying to motivate you to cause you to crash down. I told you some of the svarim say that when Haman wanted to hang Mordechai in a gallows that was 50 amos high, so Mordechai, who's a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu reached the 49th level of understanding. And Haman wanted Mordechai to reach level 50, knowing that after reaching that spiritual height, it would be downhill after that. So a person has to be very, very careful not to focus too much on any one thing and not to take on unnecessary chumras. He gave the mashal, he said, of the Rebbe of Kuzmir, where a robber grabs one item out of the store and runs out, and while the store owner is chasing after that guy with his one item, the other robbers clean out the entire store. So we don't want to end up bereft of anything. Or the story of Gedalia Kenig told, of a person who was so machped on wearing tefillin, he was so nervous about wearing tefillin that he stopped wearing tefillin altogether. So that's a chumrah that obviously leads to a big kula, and a lessening of one's avodas Hashem. So we have to be careful that our cheshbon hanefesh doesn't, and our aspirations don't become damaging to our growth in avodas Hashem. Okay, we ended off with that idea that when Yosef came to make his cheshbon, when he came to Potiphar's house to make a cheshbon, you have to be careful that the cheshbon doesn't become the first step to your last step. Yosef HaTzadik almost lost everything. And the Rebbe Yozidichov says, yeah, because he was making cheshbonos. Sometimes a Jew has to be pashut and just serve Hashem. Lefi madrigaso, do what you're supposed to do. Nasa v'nishma. Don't be too fancy. Don't be too complicated. And just be a good yid. Okay, so let's continue now. He goes back to the medrash that he started with. If you remember, he began with a medrash. Yesterday, the piece began with a medrash, medrash psikta, of a prince who's very far away from his father. And the king basically says to him, if you'll take one step in the right direction, I'll meet you the rest of the way. And that's really the klal gadol in tshuva. Tshuva not only in repentance, but in returning to Hashem. Okay, so let's read middle of the page, kuf lamed aleph. So now with all of this understanding, we can really understand the mashal from the medrash that we began with. When a person has distanced himself greatly from his father in heaven, so we don't demand of you to do things which are impossibly difficult for a person to do, which will not last, right? Things that don't have a lasting quality. What does the father say? What does Hashem say? What does the king say? Go what you can. Go whatever you can, and I'll meet you on the road. Just do what you can. What's within reason? Because if you push yourself too hard, you'll kill yourself. You'll destroy yourself. I'm not asking you to travel the entire journey on your own. Like the words of the Medrash. Do what you can according to your strength, according to your abilities. Whether you have the ability to do a little or to do a lot, whether it's in Torah, whether it's in Tefillah, whether it's in avoiding negative or doing positive, and say, look, Hashem, I'm taking steps in your direction. Help me to go the rest of the way. And to use Tehillim as that cry, which he's going to talk about today, calling out to Hashem, Asher Mesugalim Ma'od L'Tshuva. Use the sweet songs of David HaMelech, the Tehillim, which are very Mesugal, which are very auspicious for bringing a person to feelings of tshuva. which purifies the heart to serve Hashem with wholesomeness and sincerity. Va'adrava, davka b'zchus zeh, Hashem yisbarach yeh be'ezro, l'chaltzo m'meitzari nafsho, u'mimalchudas hayetzer, asama lav arvo. And davka, right, through the merit of taking those steps, you awaken HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion, because Hashem sees you care and you're trying. Person falls into a pool, doesn't know how to swim. So if a person screams out, so then hopefully someone who knows how to swim will jump in and save them. But if the person doesn't give a cry for help, then they're just going to drown, because it's not that the person on the side is not compassionate, they just don't know that they're drowning. So kiviyachol, we have to remind Hashem that we're drowning when we're drowning. We have to call out to Hashem. And in that merit, Hashem will help us to free ourselves from the traps that the Yetzer Hara is lying for us. He's waiting for us in ambush. Right? It's a trap that b'derach hateva, through our own natural efforts and means, we don't feel that there's a way out. We feel that we need something bigger than us to pull us out of this mess. And we do. So therefore we put our trust in an infinite God, whose abilities to provide for us are infinite. See, the problem is we think we're bothering Hashem. Sometimes in davening, we feel like we're bothering Hashem. I don't want to bother Hashem with my little petty needs. The opposite. If I realize that there's nothing I can do on my own, that it's not, then I'm as desperate for the smallest thing as I am for the biggest thing in my life. Because there's nothing I can really do on my own. And in terms of bothering Hashem, Hashem is Ein Sof. Hashem is infinite. His ability to provide is infinite. You're not taking away from someone else. Hashem can give you his full attention and still give someone else his full attention. Hayipale me Hashem davar b'li shum safek klal. There's no doubt in our mind that there's nothing that Hashem is incapable of doing. But it's our job to at least what? To show that we care. And the caring could be taking one step in the right direction, one courageous step in the right direction. It could be davening and calling out to Hashem and saying, Hashem, I really need your help. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he rescues you. What was the pasuk that we started with? Right? Shuva Eilai v'ashuva Aleichem. Shuva Eilai means what? If you return to me again, even a little bit, then v'ashuva Aleichem. Explains Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, three lines from the bottom of the page. V'zeh peirush ha-pasuk v'ashuva Aleichem. If you return to me, I'll return to you. What does it mean? You got to go all the way back to God? No. Hainu. If you take that first step, lo shia eschem ulekariv eschem elav, gam b'masha atem nitzodim ba'ofanim shonim. Hashem says, I will return. If you can take a step. Imagine, a person is locked up in chains. Yeah? Held in captivity. And imagine there's a little bit of room for a person to move. Right? But they're chained to the wall. They can't escape. So they'll say, instead of taking a step towards the door, which I want to exit through to my freedom, the bottom line is I can't take all the steps. Eventually, the chain that's holding me back is going to hold me back. So what's the point of taking a step? B'derech hateva, that's a good question. What is the point of taking a step? It doesn't matter if you're 50 feet from the door, 40 feet from the door, 30 feet from the door. The bottom line is, the chain that's holding you back is never going to let you reach the door, so why bother traveling at all? That's b'derech hateva. From Hashem's perspective, Hashem says, I know you're chained. I know you're completely chained. I know you can't free yourself. So you say, what's the point of taking a step? The answer is, because when you take a step, you're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're willing to, in quotations, partner with Him, and then Hashem says, then I'll break the chains. You have to take that step that doesn't make sense because it's not going to get you anywhere because I'm still tied down. It's not going to get me anywhere. It's not going to change my whole being. It's not going to set me free. That's what he's saying. Va'ashuva aleicha means lohoshia eschem ulekariv eschem elav gam b'masha atem nitzodim ba'ufanim shonim. Even if you're trapped in many different ways and you feel like there's no way to escape. Even if you have no idea how this is going to get me out of here. Because, again, b'derech hateva, there is no escape. One step forward, but a million steps back. So what's the gain? But Hashem says, if you take that step, ashuva aleichem, avo lekraschem lehoshiaschem, then I will come and break the chains. You just have to show me that you're committed to not wanting to be a prisoner anymore. And if you do that, then Hashem says, it's within my ability to figure out the rest. Don't worry about how stuck you are. You do a little mitzvah, and I'll show you how that little mitzvah can actually get you unstuck. Okay, turn to the top of the next page. V'zohi derech ha-tshuva ha-mitis. And again, this is the true path of tshuva, like the Medrash says, tshuva elai v'ashuva elecha. It's a powerful mashal because we're so busy with those cheshbonos. How does getting one step closer to the door help if I still can't reach the door, if the door's out of reach? So what good does one step help? But the answer is, you're drawing, again, attention to yourself that Hashem should have mercy on you. And once Hashem pays attention to you, once Hashem turns his face towards you, so to speak, so then anything's possible. And this is what Chazal mean. This next paragraph is unbelievable. She'ein rishus la'alfei chatam ligrom la'adam la'hosef shum chet. I love this idea. This is one of the most powerful ideas in being makari of someone. It has to be used in a delicate way. But certainly you have as much rishus as you want to use it on yourself. A person says, I've done this avera 1,000 times. So what difference does it make if I do it 1,001 times? The answer is, that's not an appropriate way for a Jew to think. There's no point where you can declare yourself as exempt from this avera. There's no point where you're no longer bound by the rules of Judaism. In other words, think of it like this. You have a friend who's mechal Shabbos. Rachmana litzlan. A friend who doesn't keep Shabbos. That's pretty serious. That's pretty weighty. Yeah? So now you see this friend. You see this friend putting his shoes on. And you say, don't forget, first the right shoe, then the left shoe. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And then you tie the left, and then you tie the right if you have laces. Right? If it's just slip on, first the right, then the left. So your friend says to you, you got the wrong guy. I'm not holding by putting on my shoes the Torah way. I don't even keep Shabbos. I don't keep kosher. I'm dating a non-Jewish girl. Do you know what your response to him is? That doesn't exempt you from putting on your shoes like a Jew. Oh, you declared yourself a Machal Shabbos, so now what? He's about to take a sip of his coffee. Don't forget to say Shahakol. Shahakol? I mean, Shahakol. I'm Mamish a Kofer Baker. That doesn't exempt you from saying Shahakol. Why aren't you wearing tzitzis? Tzitzis? What do you mean tzitzis? I don't do tzitzis. I do much worse things. That doesn't exempt you from tzitzis. It doesn't exempt you from being a Jew. In the language of the Gemara in Brachos, which captures it so succinctly, Misha achol shum yachzer v'yochal shum. The Gemara uses the expression, if a person ate something which caused their breath to have a foul smell, so should they continue to eat more? My breath smells bad anyway, so I might as well make it smell worse. V'chein einach ha-ta'am potr mishum mitzvah mishum lim Torah. A person who does averos, that doesn't exempt them from learning Torah. So you say to your friend, the Mechal Shabbos, who eats treif and doesn't wear tefillin, you say to him, did you learn Torah today? Don't forget, Vagisa bo yom v'layla. Every Jew has an obligation to learn Torah day and night. Learn Torah? You know how many averos I did today? So what? So what? You're still shy to watch Rav Melech Biederman little video, you know? It's okay. And you should. And you should, you must. You have to. V'chiv Talmud Torah. It's an amazing idea. I mean, there's no way out. In a way that's very empowering. It's Hashem saying, I'm roping you in, like the Navi says, with ropes of love. Ba'avosos ava. You're tied to me in a way that you can't escape. And it's because of my deep belief in the inner essence of who you are. As it says in the Alkut Shemoni in Mishlei, says the Medrash, imasisa chavilos chavilos shalaveros. If you made a big mess of your life, you've done piles and piles of sins, asay kenegdan chavilos chavilos shal mitzvos. So now make piles of mitzvos for Hashem. Why not? Va'od amru, and it says in the Medrash Vayikra Rabba, im nichshal adam ba'avera, ma yaseh v'yichya. If a person did an avera, what should he do to restore his life? Im hayo lamud likros daf echad kori bez dafim. If you usually learn one page of Gemara, so learn two. If you usually learn one line, learn two. You read one word of Torah, read two. Try to double your efforts. V'il Rabbeinu HaKadosh Haya Omer, Rabbi Nachman said, Asei Tov Hara Memela Yipol. Rabbi Nachman writes, but this it's an expression that's found in many places, just start doing good things. And Memela, automatically, the negativity will disappear. It's so true. If you fill your life with meaningful content, it's so much easier not to get involved in the schmutz of Olam Hazeh. So much easier. But if you're bored, you have nothing to do, so you end up getting yourself into trouble. He says, of course, this is also the pshat, the Simcha Buna and many other tzaddikim bring on the pasuk, Sur Meira Va'ase Tov. Sur Meira, you want to get away from negativity? How do you do that? Ase Tov, just start doing good things. Don't fight the darkness, just increase the light. And Mamela, and then automatically, the negativity will fall away. So he says, this is the concept again of what? Of Shuva Elai Va'ashuva Elecha. You don't realize sometimes that small step that you take towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu can open things up tremendously for a person. Okay, jump to the bottom paragraph on the page. Page Kuf Lamed Beis, bottom paragraph. V'zeh gam bir, Masham Ruch Hazal. And this is the Medrash Shir HaShirim that I mentioned yesterday. Pischuli Pesach Echad Shal Tshuva Kechuda Shal Machat. Hashem says to us, open for me a Pesach Echad, a small opening, Kechuda Shal Machat, like the eye of a needle. That's all I'm asking of you. Va'ani poseach achem psachim, and I'll open for you openings. Shu agalos v'koronos nechnasos. The caravans and wagons that large vehicles can enter through, gateways. You open a tiny little crack, a tiny little sliver of an opening, the eye of a needle, and Hashem says, I'll make these huge entranceways that buses can go through. What does that mean? It means if you can make that opening with a mitzvah, right? Before you know it, it's one little mitzvah. How's it going to change anything? Before you know it, if a person works on himself and believes in the power of a little bit of or, a little bit of Torah, a little bit of tefillah, if you really, really believe in that, then before you know it, you'll be bringing cartloads, wagons filled with mitzvahs to Hashem. But if you don't take that first step, then all of it will be lost. Then nothing will ever happen. So don't be overwhelmed by how am I going to bring so much. Just bring a little bit and you'll see it adds up. It's also a medrash in Shir HaShirim. If you do two halachos today, two halachos tomorrow, two halachos the next day, before you know it, you know all of halacha. You become a ma'ayana misgabri, like a raging river of Torah. But if a person says, there's so much Gemara to learn, I'm not going to learn at all, then you learn nothing. If I take Maseches Avodah Zarah, one word, one line, one teaching at a time, so then before you know it, hey, one blot, two blot, four blot, eight blot, before you know it, hey, I can actually learn Gemara. This is pretty cool. But a person has to believe in the power of that little bit. So what Chazal are saying here, he explains, Yifligu kan Chazal, ba'otzem godel ha-pesach sheyiftach milamala, la'odam gamim lo yiftach enegdo el ha-pesach chata ma'od, kishamachat. So what Chazal are speaking here in a very elaborate way is the great opening that takes place in Shemayim, so to speak, the corresponding opening to the small opening that a person makes down below. V'hainu acharei sha'odam oses shalo. When you do your part, rakfi kocho, in accordance with your means, humagia lide yeshuos gedolos vatsumos harbe yoser mikafi mashasa. Then you're zochet to reward, and you're zochet to salvation, and you're zochet to success much more than you ever could have imagined. Because again, every word of Torah is connected to infinity. It's not one word of Torah, it never stands alone. One mitzvah doesn't stand alone. It's a spark, it's a moment of infinity. Which means in the moment it seems like a small little thing, but from Hashem's heavenly perspective, you're touching the infinite. So of course it's much bigger than you ever could have imagined. But a person has to do his part. Turn to the top of the next page. Let's talk about Chanukah for a minute. He doesn't talk about Chanukah, but I want to talk about Chanukah for a minute. If I may. This Indian is exactly what Chanukah is. This whole last two paragraphs is exactly what Chanukah is. What was Chanukah? Now put yourself in the shoes, so to speak, of those courageous Chashmonam. So you come to the Beis HaMikdash, and what do you see? Chorban. complete wreck. Mamish, the whole place is wrecked. Right? And you see that all timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal. Timu kol hashmanim, all the oil has been made tamei. But those Kohanim believed, because Kohanim are people who have deep belief, it's like Kohen's gematria bitachon, they trusted that it can't be that everything is destroyed. There's no such thing as everything destroyed. There's a point inside of a Jew that's untouchable. Elokai neshama shenasata bi tohorehi. There's something that the Greeks can't get to, they can't reach. So they started to search. And what did they find? They found one pach echad, shel shemen, a small little jar, which had the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and the oil was pure, gevaldik. They knew it was going to take how many days to get new oil? 8 days. They knew, based on the calculation, the Ran says. It's going to take them 4 days in each direction to get fresh oil, to get tar oil, to prepare it, to bring it back. So you could say, what's the point of lighting the menorah now? What's the point of lighting the menorah now? We're not going to have oil tomorrow. We're not going to have oil the next day. We're not going to have oil the next day. What are we going to do with this one little jar? We're just delaying the inevitable, which is that the menorah is not going to be burning bright. But they didn't have that attitude. They said, you know what? Let's do what we can. Let's do what we can. So they took the pach echad shel shemen, and they poured it into the menorah. And guess what? That little bit of oil that was supposed to last for just that one day, because they believed in the power of a little bit, it lasted the entire time. It lasted for 8 days. Eight represents Lamalam and Ateva. That which looked to be so limited, right, was essentially limitless. Because they believed in that power of a little bit. They did what they could do. They did what they could do. The Gemara says that in Maseches Megillah, on Daf Tes, the Gemara says that in the time of Talmi HaMelech, they had to translate the Torah into Greek. Anyone remember this, Gemara? So they made certain changes to the Torah. In their translation, they made certain changes to the Torah. So for example, instead of writing, Bereishis Bara Elokim, they changed it to what? Elokim Bara Bereishis. Right? Because if they wrote Bereishis Bara Elokim, they thought the Greeks are going to say, oh, there's some god called Bereishis who created the Jewish god who's called Elokim. So they changed it. Elokim Bara Bereishis. Right? Elokim. They started with the name of God. Elokim Bara Bereishis. Okay. They made different changes. One of the changes that they made was in the list of non-kosher animals, right? They changed the Arnevet. Arnevet is a bunny rabbit. They didn't want to write Arnevet as one of the non-kosher animals. Why? Because Talmai's wife or mother, depending on the girsa, her name was Arnevis. Her name was Bunny. So it would look really bad to write Bunny on the list of non-kosher animals. They would think that they're making fun. You're poking fun at my wife. You're saying my wife is a tummy animal. Okay, so they had to change it. What did they change it to? They changed it to Tsiras Haraglayim, the one with the short legs. Rashi explains. Anyone have a Gemara Megillah? Rashi explains. Why did they? Why did they change it to? It's all good. Why did they change it to Tsiras Haraglayim, the one with the short legs? Because bunnies, says Rashi, because bunnies have short hands, so they wrote short legs. Anyone? That doesn't make so much sense. Why did they write Tziras Yadayim? So the Ben Ish Chai explains in one of his works on the Agarata, the Ben Ish Chai says, because we know from the Torah that people used to be named based on their appearance. So Yaakov was Yaakov because he's grabbing on to the heel of Esav. And Esav is Esav because he came out fully made. He was hairy. He had certain adult features. So apparently, when Mrs. Talmi was born, because she had short little hands, she looked a little bit like a bunny rabbit. Right? So they called her Bunny. They named her Arneves. So to change the tummy animal to the short-handed one is still basically poking fun at his wife, because she apparently had short hands. Yeah? So they had to double change it. They couldn't write Arneves. They couldn't write a description of our Nevis, because that's why she was named our Nevis to begin with, because she apparently had short hands. So they changed it to Tziras Reglaim, the short legs. The wife of Talmai, as they're translating the Torah into Greek, right, they changed it to what? They changed it to short legs, but really, it was short hands. Our Nevis. Short hands. What does short hands mean? Why is the wife of Talmai HaMelech, at that period when the Torah was being translated into Greek, which Chazal say 3 days of darkness descended on the world, it was such a tragedy, translating the Torah into Greek, sucking the pnimius out of the Torah, 3 days of darkness, or Nassim Gestetner says 3 days of darkness, because they took the Sod and the Drash and the Remez out of Torah and they left it with just Pshat. If you don't have the Torah in the original, if you just have a translation of the Torah, you can't have Remez, you can't have Drush, you can't have Sod. You can have a literal translation of the Torah. That doesn't tell you what the Torah really is. So can I give the three chalakim of Torah that were lost in that translation? Chazal say, in one of the Masechtos Katanos, it says that 3 days of darkness descended on the world. But why is Yavan connected to short hands? Of the Tamei animals, why is Arneves the one that lines up with Yavan? Why is Yavan short hands? Who had long hands? Yeah, Bas Parah had really long hands. Right? She sees Moshe's basket floating in the water. She stretches out her arm. According to one pshat in Rashi, she sent out her maidservant out into the water to retrieve the basket. According to another pshat, what'd she do? She stretched out her hand, right, to reach for something which was not within reach. And what happened? Chazal say, it was miraculous. Her hand extended very far. She was able to retrieve in some miraculous fashion the basket of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the tzaddikim ask, why'd she stretch out her arm? What was the point of stretching out her arm? No, Chaim Yonason, what's the point of stretching out her arm? She can't reach it. What's the point? Yeah. So if I stretch out my arm, if I point to that sinner and stretch out my arm, so then maybe Jane will be a good guy. It'll pass it around, it'll make it to me, right? But if no one's in the room, and I'm standing here, and I want to look at that volume of Chulin illuminated, and I stand here just, it's not happening. I can't reach it. I know that. What's the point of putting out my arm? Why'd you put out her arm? Because she understood. And it was the moment that she was converting to Judaism. She was becoming a Yid in that moment, according to the Gemara in Sota. She understood that a Jew has to what? Has to try. You got to do what you can. Take one step. Take one step in the direction of Hashem. And then after that, anything can happen. Pour one little flask of oil into the menorah. It's not going to last for 8 days. How do you know? Says who? The famous Gemara in Maseches Tanis on Daf Chafei, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's daughter, she pours vinegar into her Shabbos, lamps. And she lights them and realizes, oops, it was vinegar, not oil. It's going to go out any minute. She's all upset. Her father says, who says vinegar can't burn? The same God that says oil can burn can make vinegar burn. Ask Hashem to make the vinegar burn. You're used to oil burning? That's nice. It's not harder for Hashem to make vinegar burn. And what happened? The Gemara says, not only did her candles last, did her vinegar burn the entire Friday night, it lasted all the way until Havdalah time. The entire Shabbos, it kept burning. Unbelievable miracle. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was a person who always saw miracles, but he had a certain perspective. He understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So our job is just to do what we can. So why is Yavan the short hand? Why is Yavan the short-handed one? Why is Yavan connected to Arneves, which means the short hands? Right? Again, the Gemara says Tiras Raglayim, but that was only because they didn't want to insult Eishes Talmai HaMelech. Why is Yavan short hands? Because short hands means don't even bother stretching out your hand. Don't be like the Bas Paro who's willing to take a risk and at least try. Yavan says, nah, it's out of reach. Don't reach for things that are out of reach. However, we've said many, many times, the Vark from Meir Shapiro. Shem says to Avram Avinu, go outside and count the stars, if you're able to. So Avram goes out and he tries. He's counting the stars. 100 stars, 1,000 stars, 1,000,000 stars, 1,000,000,000 stars. Hashem, it's too much, I can't do it. And Hashem says, but Avram, you're trying. And guess what? Ko yihyeh zaracha. Your children are going to be like you. They're going to try to do impossible things. Our job is just to try. That's what this whole Torah is about. Do what you can. Don't take on more than you're shayach to, it'll break you. But don't poke fun at yourself and say, ah, it's such a little bit, what's it worth anyways? That's not a Jewish attitude. You do a little bit, shuva elai, and Hashem says, vashuva aleichem, and I will come and meet you the rest of the way. You do 1%, I'll do 99%. Just show me that you're willing to try. Okay, look at this vart from Baruch of Mezhvish, top of the next page. Kuf Lamed Gimel. Val derech melitza. There's a lot more to say about that in terms of Chanukah, but Chanukah is very much about the power of a little bit. It's rabim biyad ma'atim. Right? It's the many in the hands of ma'atim. Ma'atim doesn't just mean that we were few in terms of how many soldiers we had on the battlefield. It means we are ma'atim. We have an attitude of ma'at, an appreciation of ma'at. People who like big things fell into the hands of the people who appreciate the little things. That's us. That's Klal Yisrael. Val derech melitza re'isi. May Rav HaKadosh mi Mezhvuz, Rav Baruch of Mezhvuz. Rav Baruch of Mezhvuz was Rabbi Nachman's uncle. B'sefer Butzina Dinahora. On the Pasuk, Ma Tovu O'alecha Yaakov. In Parshas Balak, it says, Bilam says, how beautiful are the tents of Yaakov. Who remembers Rashi? What was so beautiful? Rashi explains, Ra Pischayin She'ina Mechuvanim. Bilam was impressed by our tznias. That people didn't put the openings of their tent directly facing someone else's opening of a tent. Because that means when someone opens the curtain to walk out the door, if someone somewhere inside the tent is not properly dressed, so it would be not tzanua. So they made sure that their openings, their doorways, didn't line up perfectly as a measure of privacy. And Bilam was impressed by that sensitivity. He saw that their openings were not precisely aligned. And Bilam was impressed. But Rav Baruch Mezhvuz explained, you know what he was impressed by? And you know what he was jealous of? You know what Bilam was jealous of when he said, Ma tovu o'alecha Yaakov? That the openings were not aligned. What does that mean? Hainu, pischan she Yisrael u'pischol shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu einam mechuvanim v'shavim. Our opening and Hashem's opening are not equal. What does that mean? Ki Hashem Yisbarach poseach lehem pesach yoser gadol mimashahein poschim. That's what we learned in the Medrash and Shir HaShirim. If you make a small opening, what does Hashem say? I'll make a huge opening. So Bilam looks at Klal Yisrael and he says, wow, that's unbelievable. Look at the relationship with God. Their openings are not aligned. All the Jew has to do is a little bit and Hashem opens it up the rest of the way. He was jealous of that. Kamo shamru chazal, pischu li pesach yechudo shamachad, you opening the eye of a needle. And I'll make opening the sides of the entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash. Amru Chazal, continuing in the next paragraph. Chazal explained in the Gemara in Sukkah. Yisro shal adam misgabra la b'chol yom, ve'al malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu sha'ozer lo yachol lo. The Yitzhara gets more and more fierce every day, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help us, eino yachol lo, you would never be able to win. So in case you're thinking, Hashem, I can do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. The Gemara is saying, categorically, you cannot do it on your own. The Yitzhara is stronger than you. He always stays a step ahead of you. And without Hashem's help, you cannot do it. V'lachein tzrichim tfila l'siyata d'shmaya u'la'ezer me'alokim davin that Hashem should help you. U'mikol shekem l'zakos l'tshuva ma'alya to try to do high-level tshuva after you've sinned, and you've fallen into the Yetzer Hara's trap. Daven over it. Cry out for help. Again, the mashal I gave you before. If you fall in the pool and you don't know how to swim, at least scream. Then someone can save you. Right? The shar l'Hashem, like Rav Elimelech Lezhensk writes, Pishuli Shari Tzedek Avva Modeka, Zeh Shar LaHashem, Tzadikim Yavava. What's the Shar LaHashem? Right? To scream out to Hashem, Pishuli, open up for me, Hashem, let me in. Help me to get to where I'm trying. I'm taking the little bit of Acharias that I can take, I'm taking. The little bit of effort I'm prepared to make, I'm able to make, I'm doing. Hashem, come on, you promised me, if I do a little bit, you'll do a lot. So we dive into Hashem that we should see that in our lives. Uvelukute Halachos. In Rabbi Nassan's Lukutei Halachos in Nedarim, Halacha Dalet Oschav Zayin, Rabbi Nassan writes in the Baha'i Lishna in the following expression. Shamat, look at this, beautiful. Just a recollection of a Talmud about his Rabbi. Shamati mipiv HaKadosh. I heard from the holy mouth of Rabbeinu Maran of Rabbi Nachman. Sicha no ra'a minoraus gedulas habor yezbach. I heard an unbelievable shir, a sicha. Rabbi Nachman shared with us one time in conversation, unbelievable things about the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'i efshar levara b'ksav. And he writes this. He's writing about his inability to write it. I can't possibly explain to you. What Rabbi Nachman taught us that day, I wish I could put it into words, I just can't. Ach acher kach nichnas al yedei ze ledivrei eschazkus. Sha'afilu im naflu lamakum shenaflu kol echa lefina filaso rachman litzlan. But I can tell you that the strength that we got from what Rabbi Nachman shared that day, when he revealed to us the truth of Hashem in a certain way, gave us such a chizik that no matter how far we were ever to fall, we would find the strength to pick ourselves back up. Is very great. Is very lofty. Right? In other words, no matter how many averos you did, you haven't disqualified yourself. Hashem is big enough to handle all of your averos. What do you mean? He doesn't give up on me. He doesn't get frustrated. He's not disgusted by me. No, he's infinite. Again, that's not an excuse to do one more avera. But realize that it's always possible for a Jew to find his way back. Ki ikra tshuva hitzaka v'zakal Hashem yizbach. All you have to do, the main way to do tshuva, is to cry out to Hashem. Kamosha kosav pnei Hashem ba'osei ra tzako v'Hashem shomea. Call out to Hashem, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu will come to your rescue. He explains, four lines from the bottom. U'masha amar Rabbeinu ki ikra tshuva hu tzako v'zakal Hashem yizbach. And that which it says that the main way to do tshuva is to call out to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Re'isli b'psikta rabasi, I saw in the Medrash, on the Pasuk, kichu imachem devarim v'shuvu el Hashem, take words and return to Hashem. The Rambam defines tshuva as vidoy, conversation, words, talk to Hashem, cry out to Hashem, kol anaviyim korim liyisrael l'tshuva. Aval Hoshea amar asu tshuva umalamdam kichu imachem devarim v'shuvu el Hashem. Everyone told the Jews to do tshuva. But Hoshea told us how to do it. He told us what to do. Kuchui machem dvarim, take your speech, take your words. V'shuva el Hashem. V'amru alav, turn the page. Kol sisa avon v'kach tov. Hainu k'nizkar le'el. Ki ikar ha'tshuva tzaka v'zaka l'Hashem yizbach. Wherever you find yourself, just scream. Call out to Tati. Say, Rabban Shalom, I need your help. That itself is a step in the right direction. And you'll say, nah, it's not going to change anything. Try it. Try it. V'chein esbata pam Rabbeinu, the last paragraph for today. V'chein esbata pam Rabbeinu b'lashon kodesh. One time Rabbi Nachman said in his holy tongue, afilu milikdin blata. Even if a Jew is milikdin blata, I don't know what blata is, mud. Even if a person is sunken in mud, right? Even if a person's place is in the mud, is mishrait un mishrait un mishrait. Just scream and scream and scream. Right? So what are you worried about? Someone's going to say, imagine a person who's, who's mamish having a heart attack. Yeah? God forbid, rachmana litzlan. And they collapse to the floor and they land in a pile of mud. Right? And it's clear that their life is in danger. So you're not going to jump in the mud to save them. You're worried your pants are going to get dirty. Someone's life is on the line. So we feel sometimes, I don't want to drag Hashem into the mud. I feel bad. I don't want Hashem to have to get all dirty because of me. Right? What do you mean? If you scream and you tell Hashem, it's a real emergency, kihem chayenu barachimenu, my spiritual life is on the line, then no one's going to say, I don't want to get my suit dirty to save your life. That would be a terrible thing. That would be a terribly, misguided person to say, I'm on my way to a business meeting. I can't get my suit dirty. I mean, I'm dying here. Yeah, but you're lying in mud. If you come out of the mud and dry, dust yourself off a little bit, clean yourself up, and then I'm happy to drive you to the hospital. I don't need you to get my new leather seats in my car dirty. That's crazy. The guy's dying. So it says to Rabbi Nachman, even if you're sunken in the mud and you feel like, I don't know, I feel bad, I'm going to get Hashem all dirty to come save me, scream and scream and scream. Show Hashem that it's an emergency. And then any seicheldik person, all the more so Hashem Yisbarach, will come to your rescue. Ki legdulaso ein cheker. V'chein ein cheker legdulas rachmanuso. His wisdom is endless, and his rachmanis for a Jew is endless. The care and compassion that he has for you is infinite. Ki yesh la Hashem yizbach kesher shal kirva im amo Yisrael bisod Yisrael alu b'machshava tchila. There's a bond of closeness that Hashem has with us, which is rooted in the secret of what? Yisrael alu b'machshava tchila. That we were HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original thought. In desiring to create the world, what was the inspiration? Us. The possibility of a Jewish people. So we come from the deepest place of Hashem's desire. And that remains true even in our lowest moments. Hashem still desires us. Show Hashem that you still care. That's all we have to do. Kamuva b'lekutei Maran. Sheyesh la Hashem yisbarach shnei minei avas Yisrael. There's two types of love that Hashem has for a Jew. Ava shebayamim. There's a love that is found by yamim. What does that mean? In the days. Hainu b'midos. Right? If we talk again about the sviros as being divided into chabad, chachma bina das, the three intellectual attributes of God, and then the seven emotional attributes of God. So sometimes it's called, sometimes the midos are called yamim. So there's a love that Hashem feels for you on an emotional level. Right? The same way that in an emotional relationship. Sometimes I feel close to you, sometimes I feel hurt by you. I feel in love with you, I feel, right? So there's a level of love that we have with Hashem that is dependent on our behavior on a certain level. And that we can grasp on a certain level because most of our worldly, earthly relationships are like that. There's times where we feel really close, times where we feel far. Because this is a love that's contained within the lower spheros, within our emotional experience, within a this worldly view. But there's another type of love that Hashem has for us. Yesh ava shebedas. There's an ava that transcends the emotions. Right? It's something that Hashem has determined in His mind, and it just is. It's just a true. It's true. It's 2 + 2 = 4. You can't argue on that. It just is. Right? You don't go through like times where I feel strongly connected to that idea, and where I feel, you know, I'm not feeling 2 + 2 = 4 today. It's just it's a fact. It's a logical reality. So in Hashem's mind, so to speak, in the realm of Chachma, Bina, and Das, in the mind of Hashem, there's an Ava that's beyond, is Lamala Mikola Gvulim Vamidos. It transcends any particular emotional expression. Bisod HaKesher HaNifla SheYesh LaAv Im HaBen Kishahaya HaBen B'moach HaAv. He's saying some very deep ideas here. But it's like the bond that exists between a parent and a child. Because as the Tanya writes, the starting point of the child is in the father's mind. What does that mean? Right? When a person's mind contemplates the thought, I want to try to have a child. I would like to try. Right? When a husband and wife decide we're gonna try to have a child together. Right? And the husband has a desire for his wife. And now they're intimate together. Right? So really the starting point, right? So where is the starting point of that baby? Is it in the father's seed? No. Because what generated the seed? The hormones which are triggered by the mind. Right? It's true on a scientific level as well. Right? That the thoughts that he had caused the body to produce the zera, which will eventually fertilize the egg, which will eventually develop into the child. So in a certain sense, the starting point of the child was within his father's mind. And that creates a bond, an inseparable bond between the ben and the av. And that's true for us and Hashem. Since we were the machshava tchila of Hashem, we were God's first thought, so therefore the bond between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inseparable. And we can't really grasp the degree to which Hashem loves us. When the secrets of Torah are revealed in the future, then we'll understand how much Hashem loves us. That's why the Zohar says, if we knew how much Hashem loved us, we would go out of our kelim, we'd go out of our mind. Our brains are not yet able to grasp the full extent of Hashem's love for us. We understand Hashem's love for us within the lower dimensions. Within the emotions, within the lower midos. But on the higher level, the essential bond between us and Hashem, we can't grasp. V'ayin b'tomer devora, hinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu misnayig im Yisrael v'derech zeh lomar, v'heim krovai sher basar, yesh li'imahem. The Tomer Devorah uses unbelievable lashonos, where Hashem describes us as what? As his she'er basar, mamish his relatives, on the level of flesh. We're mamish one with Hashem. Right? My neshama, which is me, is a chelek elokam imal. So I'm mamish Hashem's relative, the same way that I'm biologically linked to my parents, to my siblings, and to my children. We have that bond with Hashem. Yisrael am kerovo mamish, korva yesh lo imahem. Like the pasuk says, Yisrael am kerovo. We're his relatives. We're his children. Banam atem l'Hashem elokeichem. B'chol tzarasam lo tzar. In all of their pain, lo tzar, he explained, lo, lamed aleph, means that the pain that we feel reaches the aleph, reaches the pela elyon. He's saying very deep Kabbalistic ideas. But the point is, everything that's nogeya to us reaches the highest realms. So yes, you open a little opening down below, you have no idea what that ripple effect is in the higher realms. And he concludes with something that Baal Shem Tov wrote in a letter. Six lines from the bottom. Uvigeres shal kadosh Yisrael ha-Baal Shem Tov zechusi again aleinu l'harav ha-kadosh Rav Gershon Mikitov. When the Baal Shem Tov sent a letter to his brother-in-law Rav Gershon Kitover, he wrote an amazing thing. The Baal Shem Tov was describing things that he saw beyond this world. And he writes four lines from the bottom. Muva, it's written there, it's explained there. Shira'a b'makum shira'a, that the Baal Shem Tov saw, in the place that he saw, Rishayim Gedolim, he saw big sinners. Sheniskablu l'sham began Eden atachton. And he saw these big, sinful Jews sitting in the Gan Eden atachton. They weren't in the Gan Eden ha'elyon, but they were also in a lower Gan Eden. Atchehu HaKadosh Ba'atzmo hispal al-kach. That even the Baal Shem Tov couldn't believe. How did these guys get here? The Baal Shem Tov said, I love the worst Jew. You know, more than the average person can love the greatest Jew. But the Baal Shem Tov himself said, I saw Rishayim sitting in the Gan Eden, a tachton, and I couldn't understand how that could be. Because the love that Hashem has for us even transcends that love. And Baal Shem Tov said, Baal Shem Tov said to us, you don't understand how much I love Jews. So Hashem says to Baal Shem Tov, and you don't understand how much I love Jews. I mean, Hashem says, I up the ante. Baal Shem Tov says, how did these guys get to Gan Eden atachton? Yud Rishayim. Mashra Shezeh lo hayu mikolcha. The Baal Shem Tov says, it doesn't add up. It wasn't within their ability. Mikolcha enoshi. Ela hayalem ezer rav mi Hashem yizbarach ba'ofen niflamot. But Hashem helped them in a wondrous way. To the point that even the Baal Shem Tov, whose obsessive love with the Jewish people can't be understood by regular people like ourselves, right? But the Baal Shem Tov himself couldn't understand the love that Hashem has for every Jew. So again, the two main points of this mimer are, number one, don't try to take on more than you're able to handle, because that's going to be very destructive. It will leave you feeling empty. If a person tries to live beyond their madriga, it can be very, very damaging. But at the same time, a person says, okay, so now I'm living lefim my madriga, but it seems like I'll never get anywhere like this. Right? If I don't become a tzaddik, if I don't, you know, transform myself and take on too much at once, I'll never... No, believe in the power of that little bit. That little bit of oil that lasted for 8 nights. That ability to stretch out your hand a little bit, and your hand stretches out very far, like Baspar. To believe that Hashem's love for you is infinite, and you can do all the averas in the world, that doesn't give you permission to do one more avera, that doesn't exempt you from the smallest sif katan in the Mishnah Berurah that you may only find in 50 years from now. You know? Every halacha, you're bound by it. But I don't keep Shabbos, why do I have to put on my shoes like a Jew? Because you do. Because Hashem's love for you is much bigger than your love for yourself and your understanding of self. Alright, so this is a very valuable way to help us to defeat the Yetzer Hara. And again, and to call out to Hashem, to make sure that we're always screaming out and crying out to Hashem, that at least Hashem knows that we're making the effort, if not through our actions, at least through our Kalach HaTefillah. Yeah?
Do